well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Happy Inauguration Day, both to those of you in Washington, D.C. for the big event and for those of you who are celebrating at home. It is also pre-SHOT Show Monday here. So I think today is range day out in Las Vegas. Actually, I guess Boulder City. And then SHOT Show kicks off in earnest tomorrow, running through Friday. I will not be in Las Vegas for SHOT Show. Obviously, it was impossible for me to plan on anything in the future when over the past few months with Missy's health concerns. So not in Las Vegas, not going to go to Las Vegas this week, but someone who is going to be at SHOT Show, Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. He's going to be with us here in just a moment. And we will have, knock on wood, I'm putting some things together here, and hopefully we will have some guests from Las Vegas here on Cam and Company this week. We'll give you more details once we get those things locked down. I'm about 95% sure, but I'm just one of those people. As soon as I say something, all of a sudden that 95% chance in my mind goes down to like 5%. So I don't want to jinx anything right now, but hopefully we'll have a pretty cool guest for you later in the week from Las Vegas. Right now, though, let's talk to today's pretty cool guest. Again, the host of Armed American Radio, Mr. Mark Walters, join us for Mondays with Mark. Take a look and a listen. Mark, good to see you, sir. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
What a glorious day today is, Cam. What a glorious day.
Yes, indeed. The only thing that would make it better is the Supreme Court granting cert to the Maryland gun ban case and the Rhode Island mag ban case, but they're not issuing any orders today. So no bad news, no good news from the Supreme Court either, just in a holding pattern. So don't freak out because we didn't hear from SCOTUS today. But this is going to be the inauguration of Donald Trump, 47th president, going back into office. He's got a laundry list of executive orders that he's going to be issuing on his very first day. And he has said, Mark, I don't know if any of the Biden executive actions on guns are going to be undone on day one. I've got my fingers crossed that they are. But if not, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be day two, day three, day four, that this is coming and coming soon. A new day for gun owners in Washington, D.C. and around the country.
Agreed. And I think some of them probably will be. He's already mentioned that he said yesterday, and I quote him, "You're going to have a lot of fun watching TV tomorrow." So he's going to be issuing, from what I understand, 200 up to 200 or 200 plus executive actions today. He's going to get busy right after inauguration over on the Hill, and then he's going over to the Oval Office to continue that process. His right hand is going to get tired today. Regarding the Maryland case, I don't want people to freak out either. I was talking about this last night with Dr. Lott, and I find this interesting. I'd like to get your take on what John told me last night. I'll go there in just a second. But we should have a decision on cert probably by Wednesday, as you know. It might be delayed another day because today's a federal holiday and inauguration day. So it might step up because we usually see that within 3 days of the conference. Here's the thing we need to be concerned with, that if that case is not granted cert, we want the Supreme Court to punt that to another conference. It has to stay alive because if they officially deny cert, as you and I talked about last week, we got a problem on our hands because we got no other case that quote unquote checks all those boxes like that Maryland case. Now, when I was talking with John Lott last night on National Radio on Armed American Radio, he felt it was less than a 50% chance. And I disagree on that for all of the reasons that you and I have talked about over the past several weeks regarding this case. I have a really good feeling about this case. I'm not sure why. Maybe because I'm in a good mood and I'm optimistic because of what today represents. But we all know Thomas wants this case. We all know that we've got the next 2 years with him and Alito sitting at quote unquote at the helm. And Lord knows what's going to happen in the next midterm election. So I feel pretty confident there's going to be movement. What we need to do is we need to collectively pray together that they don't deny cert, that they keep it alive. If they don't grant it, that they punt it forward so that this case stays alive. That's where I'm at on the Maryland case.
I'm with you, and I've seen, like Costas Moros, who's with Michelle and Associates. I've seen some posts on X from Costas where, he's getting a little concerned. Not guaranteeing that the Supreme Court's going to take this. Did Dr. Lott have any particular reason why he thought this was a less than 50% chance that they'd grant cert?
He did, because he didn't feel that there was the normal conflict in the circuits on this case that is generally a prerequisite for the courts to want to grant cert. Now, in defense of what John was talking about, he also made it very clear to listeners yesterday on Armed American Radio that this case is so important because it has already moved through the process. Both, as you know, it's been lingering for a number of years. This case has been lingering. The courts looked at this pre-Bruin and post-Bruin. So that puts this case in a different light that he felt might not have to worry about the circuit splits here.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of this case, because they've already GVR'd it once. And for those of you who might not know what that means in a nutshell, they've already granted cert on the case, vacated that decision, and remanded it back for another decision. So there's already been that movement. That's why I feel a little bit more comfortable than he does. I believe it's a 60 to 70% chance easily. If they don't grant cert, I think they punt it. I don't think they deny cert in this case. I'll be shocked by that. Worst part is we're not going to know why they make the decision they make. So fingers are crossed here, ladies and gentlemen. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, if they, you know, if they do deny cert, you may get a written dissent. In fact, I would be surprised if we did not get a written dissent from Justice Thomas, joined by perhaps Justice Alito, maybe Justice Gorsuch as well. And again, you know, on paper, when you look at who's on the bench, Justice, as I said, those three individuals right there, I think, are very much in favor of a Second Amendment that recognizes, yes, AR-15s are the semi-automatic rifles. They are protected by the Second Amendment. Justice Kavanaugh has said as much. It was in a dissenting opinion when he was on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in a case dealing with D.C.'s ban on so-called assault. And so, you know, theoretically, Mark, you've got the four votes necessary not only to grant cert, but you've got four votes in the majority right now, right? Then the question becomes, again, where does Chief Justice Roberts stand? Where's Justice Amy Coney Barrett? Because she takes four to grant cert, takes five, obviously, to win that case. And if the four justices who we feel pretty confident would grant cert, if they're not convinced that Justice Thomas, or excuse me, Justice Roberts or Justice Barrett would side with them, then they might vote not to grant cert, right? To keep this away from the Supreme Court in a precedential setting decision that would go against the Second Amendment. So you're right. We are likely not going to know the reasoning behind the court's decision. I am with you. I am cautiously optimistic. And maybe it's just because I think the court needs to hear this case, even if there's not a circuit split. As you and I talked about last week, you know, most of these gun bans have been popping up in appellate circuits that are pretty anti-gun, that are upholding almost every gun control law, right? So if we're going to wait for, you know, a Fifth Circuit state, for example, to pass a ban on so-called assault weapons, hey, we're going to be waiting a long time because I don't think the votes are there in any of these states that are covered under the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. But B, why should these anti-gun states get a pass just because there's no conflict within these appellate courts? There's a conflict with the U.S. Constitution. And that, to me, is the biggest conflict of all, right? So yeah. I'm with you. I am cautiously optimistic. I don't know that I'd put a percentage on it, but let's say 55 to 65% optimistic that they are going to grant cert. And again, we may know later in the week, conference again on Friday. So we should get an orders list from last Friday's conference. As you say, at some point, it won't be today, but it might be tomorrow, might be Wednesday. And fingers crossed, we do get some good news. Now, in the meantime, we've also got another huge event taking place. It is SHOT Show Week. And in fact, you're getting ready to head out to Vegas, right?
Not too long after this conversation. In fact, I'll be picked up to head out to the airport. So the longest week of the year begins today for me. But I'm hopeful and optimistic that we get some good news while we're at the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show regarding this case. And I have to say this real quick before we travel a different road here, but were you listening to the program last night? Because you just traveled the road John and I were talking about last night. The Fifth Circuit's been very gun-friendly to us. And this is why the split might not be so important, because the court knows that all of these other courts are, the appellate courts, are in anti-gun jurisdictions, quite frankly. So that in and of itself kind of makes up for the fact there's no per se circuit split when they know that this is where these cases are coming down from. And that unusual step that the Fourth Circuit took to hear it in total makes a big difference. So I'm not concerned about that split. I feel good about it. Again, cautiously optimistic. I would love to get that great news and report to my listeners when I call in as a guest on my own show that that case has been granted cert. That would be wonderful. We want to get this case heard and get it heard quickly. And I know Thomas does too. One of the things that concerns me about what you said is if the other four justices are not concerned or are not convinced that Barrett or Roberts will rule in their favor. See, that bothers me because Barrett and Roberts, who has voted with us in every pro-gun case, by the way, I want to make that point, should not be an issue. We shouldn't be concerned about Barrett. We shouldn't have to be concerned about Roberts, nor should the other justices. So again, cautiously optimistic, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. So so what are you looking for at SHOT Show this year? Because I know, you know, every time you go to the Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show, it is so big and it just gets bigger every year. I don't think there's any way that one person can actually see it all over the course of a week, particularly when, you know, you are broadcasting, you're busy trying to get guests. So I'm curious, what is it, what is on your to-do list when you get to Vegas this week? What do you want to see? Awesome. And what are you hoping to find?
I am not broadcasting this year, and I didn't last year. I've retired from broadcasting live, so I've got guest hosts. That frees me up to be able to get to as much of the floor as I possibly can. And frankly, you are absolutely correct. This is my 25th shot. My first one was in 2000. This is 2025. I hate to date myself. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, I don't look 25 years into shot. But I did go back and look at some old pictures of myself, so yeah, I'm getting there. Honestly, I've never been able to touch everything on that floor. And every year they add more available space every single year. So I'm not going to be able to get to all of it. My most important issue when I go is to meet with the sponsors of Armed American Radio, meet with our great partners, seek some new ones, have conversations that keep these conversations alive on the nation's airwaves. So it's become, you know, SHOT for me over the years, Cam, as you well know, has morphed from back in my old writing days, pre-radio, which was 16 years ago. So my purpose for going to SHOT changes every single year. Now it's about complete full networking within this industry. And I'm looking forward to talking to people about how they feel going into the next 4 years with Trump there regarding their sales. I want to come out of SHOT with positive news that the industry feels that by at least the third quarter, we begin to see some pickups in sales. And I think that will all happen, as we discussed before. Once Trump unleashes the gold beneath our feet, once transportation costs come down, heating comes down, inflation drops, people have a little bit more expendable income in their pockets, and gun sales then go through the roof in a positive environment. But what's critical is let's tie that along the lines of what we're seeing moving in Congress right now. We're seeing national reciprocity moving in both sides of Capitol Hill. We are seeing suppressors, okay, with the Hearing Protection Act moving. There's been moves now by Boebert to get rid of the ATF. There's moves to get rid of the National Firearms Act. There's a separate move to remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act. All of these are great positive pro-gun moves moving forward. Do they stand a chance over the next couple of years? We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. Senate is going to be a challenge. There's a filibuster we have to overcome. So all of this is what I'm looking for. I want to gauge what's happening within the industry and how they feel about what's getting ready to happen over the next 4 years.
You know, and again, you mentioned a lot of pro-gun legislation, but there's even more. I mean, I haven't necessarily been surprised because this is the time of year where you get a lot of bills filed on both sides of the aisle here. But we've actually seen, I think, some really interesting bills, you know, and stuff that's been filed basically for the first time. Representative Tenney from New York, for instance, introduced the SAGA Act, right, which basically would undo the so-called assault weapon bans. If it's not banned under federal law, then states couldn't ban these firearms either. So it's not explicitly protecting the AR-15 and other semi-automatic firearms, saying that they are protected by the Second Amendment, but they're protected by federal statute, or at least they would be under that particular piece of legislation. You've got the FIND Act, which has been reintroduced again this year. This is the financial bill that would, you know, protect gun owners' privacy, would bar the use of these merchant category codes that are specific to gun stores. A gun control advocate say can predict, you know, mass shootings by identifying suspicious purchases, but there's no way of really identifying what's a suspicious purchase. So you got a lot of false flags. I mean, there are so many good bills, and you're right. The narrow majorities in Congress, it is going to be an uphill fight in the Senate, I think, for virtually all of these bills. But I'm hoping that some of these things actually can find bipartisan support. They're deserving of bipartisan support. And frankly, you know, I look at somebody like a Senator John Fetterman, who I think is trying to moderate his views, who realizes that, OK, you know what, the Democrat Party as a whole is far to the left of where my constituents are. he has not been great on guns. He's been one of those politicians who, you know, I protect the Second Amendment, but I could see this being a year where he actually does cast a pro-gun vote to, you know, get on the right side of his constituents. Now, whether or not there are six other Democrat senators willing to do the same, very much an open question. But we are going to be making progress. And frankly, it's huge that we don't have to worry about, at least we don't have to worry as much about anti-gun bills getting through Congress. I don't want to fall asleep at the switch. You know, Donald Trump in his first term did institute that bump stock ban. I don't think we have to worry about anti-gun executive actions from President Trump this time around. So, you know, there is that backstop, right, protecting our Second Amendment rights that just simply wasn't there in Washington, D.C. over the past 4 years. Instead, you had this whole of government attack on the Second Amendment, and that stops today.
Yeah. And going down that hole now, let's take it to Bondi. Part of the conversation I had last night with a number of my guests regarding Pam Bondi is, you know, that whole I support the Second Amendment, but that came out of her mouth in those hearings. We did not get the grilling that I had expected or wanted to see from the Republicans on two-way issues regarding her Parkland bill support, et cetera. We didn't get it, so we really can't talk about it. It didn't happen. She gave the right political answer when she was questioned by Padilla from California, but is that good enough? It's not good enough for a lot of groups. But part of what comes into play here is, look, let's be honest here. There needs to be fear in many cases to effectively fundraise. It's easier to fundraise when you're scared. When you've got that fear that Biden's going to issue another executive order or that a Democrat Congress might have this bill pass and the Senate might move on it, the president might sign it, that all stops right now today. So that fear is relieved. That pressure is relieved from us. That's not when we need to slow down. So let's take that to moving forward. Now we step on the accelerator to move these bills that we're talking about here. And that's where the gun groups become so instrumental and so critical to moving those bills. We don't step off the gas now. We mash the pedal to the floor and we donate what we can. Hopefully we get some more money in our pockets. Look, I'm just like you and everybody else. I feel the pinch. My wife went grocery shopping last night, $338 for not that many items in the grocery cart, right? Everybody feels this. When that comes back down to $150, guess what? Old Mark A is probably going to pick up another gun. So that's when we need to be donating a little bit more money. Now's when we need to double, triple, and quadruple down, Cam, on getting the funding into these pro-gun groups so that we can begin lobbying these people in Congress to see to it that these bills move. Now we're not on defense. For crying out loud, ladies and gentlemen, help us step on the gas here. It's vital right now that we move, particularly in this two-year window. We don't know what's going to happen in the midterms. There's discussion right now that the House could easily flip in the midterms, and it could. Senate looks pretty stable for the Republicans right now. Prediction would be that you'd probably pick up a few seats in the next 2 years or in 2 years in the midterms. But that none of that's a given. Right. Political shift all day long, right? And that let's take that back to Bondi real quick. There is going to be another tragedy in this country. So how is she going to react to that when the left-wing media, the Blumenthals, the Murphys, and the rest of the left-wing pundits come out, along with their help from the mainstream press, and begin to try to shift that narrative again to anti-gun and put political pressure on Trump and the Republicans, who they're now going to be able to say, these pro-gun people, look what they're doing and look what happened. We need to stop. We need more gun control. How is Bondi going to respond at that point? All of this is we wait to see it. Unfortunately, yeah. Probably going to see it because there likely will be another tragedy in this country. It's critical. So support these organizations now. Take your pick, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be on the gas right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll give you another reason. I mean, everything you said is absolutely spot on. But, you know, the gun control infrastructure that has been built up over the last, I won't even just say the last 4 years or the past decade. Right. So the office of the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, that's going to go away. It may get rebranded. It may get a new mission. And I hope that it does something that is, you know, more pro 2A focused. The weaponization of the ATF is going to end. But listen, you know, every town doesn't just have, you know, volunteers showing up at the state house, right? They've got every town law. They are helping state governments, city governments sue the firearms industry. You've got this infrastructure, this network of professionals that the gun control groups have built up. That doesn't disappear just because Joe Biden's left office. And again, you talk about it being easier to fundraise when your rights are under attack, right? When there is a fear that bad things are going to happen to something you hold dear. Well, that's the environment that the gun control groups find themselves in right now, right? This is going to be a good environment for them to raise money, for great them point. To start getting, you know, more, not that they maybe they've got billionaires, you know, willing to write a check at any time. But this is going to be a beneficial time for the gun control movement in terms of making inroads with, you know, grassroots. So we absolutely cannot sit still. We cannot stand pat. We cannot just assume that, all right, you know, everything's going to be great for the next 4 years. As you say, this is a time for us to redouble our efforts to get involved. If you have not made a donation, find a group that you think is doing good work and do what you can to support them. If you regularly donate, see if you can give a little bit more, even if it's $5 more a month, right? Do what you can to preserve our rights, because it's great that we've got that backstop in Congress. It's great that we've got a president who says he's going to respect our Second Amendment rights. But we still have work to do. Groups like the Second Amendment Foundation, like Gun Owners of America, like the Firearms Policy Coalition, like NRA, they all have work to do as well over the next 2 to 4 years, and they do need our help. So, Mark, I think that's absolutely great advice. I wish you safe travel, sir. Enjoy your time at the Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show. Tell everybody I said hey, and you'll be back in time to do Mondays with Mark next week, right?
Oh, I can't wait to report back to you what we find on the floor at SHOT Show. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get back about 1 o'clock in the morning, early Friday morning. So I'm looking forward to it. And one quick point, guys, they're shifting their efforts to the states now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you're behind a blue wall, it's critical that you support your states' rights organizations as well, because they're going to be doing the heavy lifting over at least the next 2 years. Well, the next 4 years, but these 2 years are critical. So step up to the plate, guys. We need your help. Thank you, Cam. I appreciate it. Going to miss you this week.
Excellent advice as always, Mark. Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Cam.
My thanks to Mark for joining us on the program. Safe travels out west, and looking forward to having him back again here very soon. All right. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Remember Albuquerque, where, you know, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham declared a state of emergency due to gun violence, right? Tried to ban concealed carry throughout the entirety of the city of Albuquerque in Bernalillo County, was hauled into court, was told, no, you can't do that. So then she narrowed down her prohibitions to no concealed carry in parks and playgrounds. That, too, was eventually narrowed down to no concealed carry in playgrounds. And then she declared the emergency over just a couple of months ago. Yeah, right. While still pushing Democrats to enshrine some of these gun-free zones into state law. You know, it is no joke that Albuquerque is dealing with a lot of violent crime. Thankfully, like most cities around the country, homicides decreased in Albuquerque last year. But law-abiding gun owners weren't the problem to begin with. In fact, one of the biggest issues in Albuquerque, as well as a lot of other cities around the country right now, is a very soft-on-crime attitude. And people who commit violent acts often get away with a slap on the wrist if they are caught, if they are arrested, if they are charged in the first place. And so when you've got a small number of individuals who are perpetrating a outsized portion of violent crime and they feel like they can get away with it because they are getting away with it, well, what happens? You tend to have more of it, right? Which brings us to this headline, again from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Man gets probation for a shooting that prompted Albuquerque police chief's crash. Yeah. So this shooting happened last year. Michael Mountjoy ended up pleading no contest last Thursday to aggravated assault with a deadly weapon almost a year after he shot a gun during an argument with another man near Central Avenue in Albuquerque and Alvarado Drive. At the time, Albuquerque Police Chief Harold Medina was in the area in an unmarked department-issued pickup. He said he sped off to avoid the gunfire rather than, you know, investigate the cause of the gunfire, crashing into a 1966 Ford Mustang. Yeah. As part of his plea deal, Mountjoy sentenced to 18 months probation for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, which I believe is a felony charge in New Mexico. Now, again, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, and sadly, a large number of Democrats in the roundhouse in Santa Fe, they want to pin the blame for violent crime on lawful gun owners, on responsible gun owners. And they don't really speak up or speak out when an individual like Mr. Mountjoy ends up pleading to a felony charge and walking away with nothing more than probation. Nope. Instead, they will use incidents like this to, again, further go after our right to keep and bear arms rather than putting the emphasis where it belongs. Violent offenders, again, getting away with their crimes. Now, today's Armed Citizen story from Northern Virginia, where a Fairfax County homeowner shot an intruder during an attempted break-in last week. Fairfax County, you know, pretty low crime, generally a pretty safe place to live, but these things can happen anywhere. This was in Falls Church, the Lake Barcroft area. I believe it was the last Wednesday. Suspect tried to break into two homes in the neighborhood before he was shot at the front door of the second home. Happened around 2:30 in the morning. Homeowner was actually on the phone with a 911 dispatcher when he was forced to shoot, hitting the intruder multiple times. The homeowner declined to talk with Fox 5 after the shooting took place. But several neighbors did speak to local reporters. Haley Wilson, who lives nearby, said, "It's usually a really safe area. My family lives around here, but you got to be safe. Cameras, nice locks, they help." Another neighbor said crime in the area has gradually increased, saying, "We've been living here for 25 years, and it's like little stuff. Cars getting fussed with has become more frequent in the last 3 or 4 years. The suspect at last reported hospitalized with life-threatening injuries will face charges once his condition improves. The homeowner, on the other hand, not expected to face any charges, again, acting in self-defense when this individual tried to break down their door and make their way inside. Finally, today, our good deed of the day, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Group of individuals in San Antonio, Texas, who helped a woman save her pets from a duplex fire over the weekend. This was Saturday afternoon. Pedro Berdacia was playing rugby with several other folks at the Wheatley Sports Complex when all of a sudden started seeing thick black smoke. And he said, "I just started running over to where the smoke was coming from." What he found was a duplex engulfed in flames. Fire coming up through the attic of one of the units of the duplex. He saw a man with a fire extinguisher who he said was struggling to breathe. He ended up picking the guy up and running a block to hand him off to paramedics. He said he just needed some oxygen from EMS, so I carried him over there. He could barely walk, so I just carried him. Debbie Cloyd, who lives in the portion of the duplex that was not actively on fire, was trying to save her pets. Police and firefighters said they had to stop her from going back into the building, but she's screaming at them for help. And that is when, I guess, Berdacia and his friends ended up going in, taking out some of the animals. She said, people that just came in started taking my animals out for me, including a 20-year-old cockatoo, who Cloyd said some big guy carried her cage outside. According to KENS Channel 5 in San Antonio, Cloyd is known in the area for feeding cats and for trying to take care of strays. She said that in the aftermath of the fire, quote, people have been very helpful. Only took about 10 minutes to bring the fire under control. Hopefully, Cloyd able to return to her home. The fire incident commander said there was one man at home asleep when the fire broke out, but he managed to get out safely on his own. And again, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Pedro Berdacia and other good Samaritans helping to protect the two-legged and four-legged individuals and pets who needed help this past weekend. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program, as always. Looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow for another show, but be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day, keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. As Donald Trump gets sworn into office, we've got a huge deal for you as well, by the way, in honor of 47. When you use the promo code POTUS47, you get 74% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership right now. This is not going to last long, so take advantage of this. Again, use the promo code POTUS47 for 74% off. You get exclusive content, an ad-free experience, and other benefits, and you'll be supporting the independent pro Second Amendment journalism we are doing at Bearing Arms, so thank you very much for your support. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.